This one. It's always fun to go last. Get the lesson. Well, good evening, everyone. And thank you, Professor Greenwood, and the rest of the panelists. Today was an emotional day for me. Major Taylor has always been one of my heroes. I spent my first faculty position cuddled up late at night at Washington State University with Andrew Ritchie and Major Taylor. It got me through cold nights. Pac-10 school in the middle of nowhere. It was my first publication in a major's journal as a book review, Mr. Ritchie's outstanding book. I'm from the West Coast. I grew up both in an urban neighborhood. We moved to the suburbs in 1979 had an impact on me because I used sport and entertainment to teach educational lessons through sport history across all ethnic groups. 1979, ESPN started. 1979 was also when hip hop and rap came on the scene, which I will mention briefly how this connects to Taylor. I'm a faculty member. People of color or African Americans represent 2 to 3% of the makeup on predominantly white campuses. And I'm just trying to give you a context. I played center from fifth grade all the way through college. There were very few centers that were African American back in the day. And so he's always had an impact on my life. Major Taylor is very important, and I'm going to connect this to DeVos. At the DeVos Sport Business Program, and our program was endowed by Richard DeVos that founded Amway, owns Orlando Magic. We prepare young people every day to be placed in sport and entertainment organizations to create social change, ethics, leadership, character. Lynn, there's nothing I can teach them about the living classroom that's better than what you and your team have done today, and I want to give you another hand. So with that said, it was great to see us start out with music because I believe music and sport can change the world. Anyone agree with me? Hope so. What I think is interesting about Taylor is that he broke stereotypes and he was outside the box before they even had a chance to put a box on him. And what I mean by that is today, I'm going to contextualize with an exercise. So if you haven't been watching the young people today, and not just African-American youth, they all want to be cool. They all want to be a baller. That's the baggy shorts. That's the bigger clothes. How many have seen this phenomenon in society? So what I want everyone to do is this exercise. Take your hands up. Everyone in the room, let's participate. And then on the count of three, they're going to repeat after me. You're going to say ballin'. One, two, three. Ballin'. That's why they want to be like Mike. They don't want to be like Major because they don't know about Major. But now we got that statue there, I feel sorry for everyone I know because they're coming here to look at it. Good job, Kobe. And so how have I used Taylor and what does his life mean? I've seen pro athletes truly inspired. I use Bill Roden's video documentary. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it, The Journey of the African-American Athlete, and published in 1996. I've seen a 6'7 tackle for the Jaguars, Maurice Williams, stand at the top of the room and said, there was a black guy beating all the white people on a bicycle, Dr. Harrison. And I said, yes, that's what the documentation tells us. To Larry Foote, linebacker from the Steelers, to white students just amazed by Taylor's achievements back in the day on a bicycle. He was the biggest baller. He's the first famous baller internationally, is what I want to push. So because of time, I basically have four questions. What does it take to be number one? What does it mean to be a superstar? What challenges face artists and athletes when making a transition to their second career? Often we hear this thing, when are they going to retire? And I love my good friend Marcellus Wiley, who played in the NFL several years, has a degree in sociology from Columbia, says, I'm in my second career. I didn't retire. And we know from chapter 12 in Andrew's book and others that have written about this, it was a difficult adjustment. I want to suggest when you see news clippings like Latrell Sprewell and others don't have any money anymore, that these issues that Taylor faced are still around today, even though racism is not as overt. And the fourth question is, of course, what lessons could today's artists or athletes learn from Major Taylor's life? Major Taylor was a leader and this, because of time, I want to make sure I say this while it's on my mind. The thing that hit me today about his character, and it runs through his family's character, Karen and all of you out there, is that he was humble. And I'd like to see more athletes, I don't care what background they're from, be humble and promote that humility. One of the things I think that really was negative in the mainstream press was that Marvin Harrison, a wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, who I see in the Taylor makeup, was connected with some shooting. One of the most humble athletes hands the ball to the ref after he scores a touchdown. Those images are out there for African-American athletes, but often that's not what's promoted. Major Taylor is important to tell that story because of the quote that Professor Greenwood just read, and I want to read more of that quote about his humility, because I think there's many lessons in there about how he handled being a superstar in an overtly racist time. And I quote, "Notwithstanding the bitterness and cruel practices of the white bicycle riders, their friends and sympathizers against me, I hold no animosity toward any man. This includes those who so bitterly opposed me and did everything possible to injure me and prevent my success. Many of them have died, and when I am called home, I shall rest easy, knowing that I have always played the game fairly and tried my hardest. Although I was not always given a square deal or anything like it." And that's important. I hear people. In my home growing up, my parents have been married 44 years. They grew up in segregated Texas. They got married at 19. They didn't have two nickels to put together. I was not allowed to use the word fair. That was not allowed in my home. They always told me things are not going to be fair no matter who you are. And so to finish the quote, expanding from that, "When I am finally run off my feet and flattened by that mighty champion, Father Time." I mean, he's an interlocutor. I like that. I'm biased, though. "The last thought to remain in my mind will be that throughout life's great race, he saw the bigger picture. I always gave the best that was in me. Life is too short for a man to hold bitterness in his heart, and that is why I have no feeling against anybody." And that's from his book, The Fastest Bicycle Rider in the World. In my last few minutes, I'm going to talk about the role of business entrepreneurship in sport and entertainment. I'm very much inspired in 1899 and the 1900s that Major Taylor attempted to be an entrepreneur. He had ideas for the car tire that he wanted to expand on, and he put up $15,000, according to Andrew Ritchie's great research, and it never got off the ground. But I think it's important when we bring it to today and we look at images such as Sean Puffy Combs, Russell Simmons, George Foreman in the Foreman Grill, Missy Elliott. When you think about images of women in sport, and Missy Elliott is not a size 1 or 2, and she has a whole clothing line with Adidas. These are things that Major Taylor, everyone, never had the opportunity, but was attempting to extend his brand in these ways. Queen Latifah, Dahani Jones is one of my former students, has a bow tie business, and I'll be giving him Andrew's card since he had a bow tie on at the social. Charles Oakley, you have to look out for your students. Charles Oakley and his mother have launched a food company. What I'm challenging here is for us to continue the discussion. What does it mean for an athlete or artist to go beyond participation, to own things now? I've lived through to watch hip hop just be something sold out of the back of the car, to where I've been to the East Hamptons because I do research for Russell Simmons, and I can't believe the people he has back there from Motorola. You have to look out there now and look at Jay-Z and LeBron James, two superstars who are going to launch a company, Translation Marketing, and there are Fortune 500 companies lined up to work with them. This was unimaginable when Major Taylor was on the scene. And so the last image you won't get to see, I had an image of Shawnee Davis, the skater. It actually was a funny picture because I think how I want to close is we have to contextualize that watching this election race, no matter how we see it politically, is something of a black first could happen. And for my dad to be able to see this is truly exciting. It's taking him away from sports. My mom says she doesn't know what it is, but whatever it is, she's going to leave him alone. He is glued to the television just to see Iowa and some of the different states. you know, one of my colleagues and good friends, Rebecca's here. She's from St. Louis, grew up in a racially tense town. She's a big Barack fan. But I had his image up, and it says, Barack is my homeboy, and I thought it was kind of cool because I'm trying to... He's cool. Wilma Rudolph transcended sport for women. Danica Patrick, you know, you got to feel bad for her right after she wins the trophy. I know some people are going to laugh. That guy got in front of her, and then she ran him over. And I mean, you go on you get on the internet, people are blogging and stereotyping women. See, I told you they can't drive right after she won the cup. We need to challenge these stereotypes. Danica Patrick is important, regardless that some see her as a sex symbol. She's trying to be a first. She's trying to push the envelope. And I would be, I can't not mention before I close, Bob Johnson, owner of the Charlotte Bobcats, and Damon Evans was named the athletic director at the University of Georgia, the first African American in the Southeastern Conference at 35. Major Taylor opened a door for all of these folks that came behind him. And I'm going to tell you one movie where I think about Major, and it's inspired my life, because I was a football player my whole life. I think about Major every time I watch the movie Finding Forrester. How many have seen that movie? Because in the end, he used his mind and not just his body to make it. And I really think for Major to succeed, he had no allies out there for the most part during his races, although he did have some mainstream allies help to promote him. He was a very intelligent man, and I told you all those names he inspired. I know he's inspired, you know, one chubby cheek kid from the West Coast who's a professor and never would have dreamed he'd be in a room like this celebrating and being a part of this great event. Thank you.